CLW83 Network. Tune in.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007, sanctioned by...
Daredevil Super Dave Osborne. Super Dave, what about today? First, why are you doing it? Secondly, do you honestly think you can make it?
Well, Mike, I've said this before. I'm doing it for two reasons. First of all, I love the challenge. And the second reason, I'm not sure it's more important. I love the money. I'm not a terribly gifted person, so I feel the money I make risking my life is far more than I can make doing anything else.
Super Dave, I really have to be honest with you. I almost don't believe that you could make it, so all I can say is good luck.
Thank you.
I can barely put into words the excitement I feel at this very moment.
Uh-oh, I think
well,
my nose is bleeding.
There you've seen, ladies and gentlemen, a daredevil feat that, as far as these eyes are concerned, will never be surpassed.
Mike, can you get me out of here?
Yes, this is Mike Walden speaking for a happy crew and an elated Dave Osborne returning you to our regular programming.
Mike, you're a putz. I need help here, Mike. Is that you leaving? I can hear your footsteps. My ear's to the ground. Oh, I'm in deep trouble. Well, it's not all bad. John Biner, I want to thank you for the opportunity of doing this. Next time someone tells me to kiss my I just did.
But alas, the interim Raw GM was not in the greatest of moods either after his Monday night soiree. And I'd like to say I'm not in the greatest of moods either, but I'm in the right place for it. This is the North American Wrestling Connection, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Nikki Heyman. Now, I don't quite have my full complement yet, but I will start with our resident legal counsel, Ace Attorney DJ Peckins.
On the 20th day of January, a familiar force will reclaim what is rightfully his, and it will be the end of the podcast as you know it.
Come on, baby! Yeah! All right! Come on, baby!
I appreciate the fact that you did not follow that with 6 minutes of silence.
I couldn't hold out that long, Nick. You know me.
That's very, very true. Let's see. Aha. Here is our missing member. Ethan, I'm going to try again. Muslin.
Ding on the muslin.
Thank you, and welcome.
You win a cookie.
Yay. I need a cookie.
Or a cupcake, your choice. Although I think Mark Henry eat all the cupcakes.
Muffin, anyway. But let me also point out our fourth, and who else could it be but fourth?
Before we begin, I know we don't talk about TNA much, but I'd like to wish James Storm a happy about your damn luck, because apparently he's now a father.
That's awesome. I was unaware he was even married. Or is he? son, daughter, more than one?
I believe it's a son. I think he might even have already had a daughter.
Okay.
I believe there are pictures also on his Twitter. I saw somewhere on prowrestling.net. They had posted a link to it.
Well, I'm still worried about the Twitter picture I saw of Punk with a baby. Was that his?
Oh, I hope to God not.
I don't think the world could take that much snark at once.
No.
Oh. Well, I'd like to give our listening audience the heads up that tomorrow I will be on the road, braving the weather, heading into the frozen tundra of Fargo, North Dakota for the super show that they've advertised on Raw and SmackDown the past few days. Unfortunately, one of the people I will not see will be Mr. Evan Bourne, who unfortunately precipitated a tag title change at a house show And as you guys know, titles don't change on house shows without a reason. Right, DJ?
Yeah, I mean, this completely shocked me. You know, you have the first wealth violation. Okay, he's out for 30 days. He's back. Things are seemingly in order. Kofi Kingston is released from his jobbing jail as he took basically all the punishment as Evan Bourne was away for the first 30 days. They were back. They were having a good series with Epico and Primo. And then, boom, out of nowhere, they have the tag straps change in Oakland on a house show. They lose the rematch on Raw. Don't know really what to think of if he's being punished for kind of letting the cat out of the bag about R-Truth or if he just isn't able to learn from his own mistakes. But you can't feel sorry for him when you have guys like Curt Hawkins and Trent Beretta, who are young guys who haven't gotten the push or the opportunity that Evan Bourne's gotten. Seemingly they've been on the up and up, and they're working hard. So I guess we'll see what the future holds for him in 60 days, but not looking good for Evan Bourne.
Now, Ethan, this popped up on our dear sponsor, WrestleChat.net. Did you happen to catch that article?
I have not. Can you give me the gist of it?
Actually, what's fun is that there's the answer to what's going on here has turned into polar opposites. The fan boards are claiming that Evan's being stupid, Evan's trying to get fired, this, that, and the other thing. But Evan has gone on record, according to one of the article on Wrestle Chat, that he begged them to not punish Kofi for his own stupidity in the first case. And in the second case, he is actually challenging it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, because I would have to admit, even, you know, I don't know enough about Spice, and I'm still kind of, you know, I realize that this stuff is more dangerous than marijuana, that it could be lethal, but we don't have enough information. It is not 100% illegal either.
Mm-hmm.
So he's challenging it because it might have been stuff still in his system from the first test. I'm no doctor for it. I'm no doctor for it. What do you like? How do you like his chances?
I think you know, he has every right to appeal it, and whatever the investigation finds, I don't think it'll affect him either way. If they find out that it's the same sample, I'm sure they'll rescind the suspension. If it's something new, he's probably just going to have to man up and deal with it. And if he wants to stay in the Fed as much as he does. Because I think that was something I had heard also, that he's really trying hard to not lose his job in the Fed. So if this is a case of a new violation, he's gotta really put the hammer down on this.
Okay, Forth, I had originally thrown that at Forth, but
I was gonna say I do agree that if he is basically still using it, then he has to be a man and come clean about it. But if he isn't, then he does have every right to appeal this decision.
To be honest, guys, this is the first time I've ever heard a wrestler appeal a wellness violation. Has anybody, you know, anybody else that you can think of?
No. A lot of the times that I've heard about the wellness violations, they've just taken it. And it's probably mostly because they know that they're busted, and they're just like, okay, yeah, you caught me, I'll take my punishment and do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and it's not a case of like in other professional sports where, you know, you want to stay on the field, and really if you win your appeal or you lose your appeal, there's no sort of backlash. Your team welcomes you back. You go into the starting lineup. Here, you know, if you're Evan Bourne and you make noise and you appeal, or if you're any other superstar, not just Evan Bourne, and you appeal and you make noise and you fight it, I don't know how the politics work with regards to suspensions and things like that, but maybe these guys that have been suspended in the past have figured it's better not to make waves, it's better not to fight it, because when I come back, I don't want to be de-pushed or dropped to the lower part of the card because I fought the suspension.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of why I kind of, you know, I'm really leaning towards Evan. If Evan really is trying to keep his job, I mean, he knows he was in a really good position. And on TV is a really good position. Just ask Brodus Clay. Oh, my goodness. But fingers crossed. We're going to keep an eye on this and see where Evan ends up on this. If obviously this is going to make sure he misses the Rumble, and he's going to be a tight fit for Mania. He might end up in the everybody gets a paycheck battle royal.
He'll probably end up getting in the dark show, and that he'll be lucky to get that. I think.
Yeah. But, you know, like I said, if he does get anything, it's going to be that. Everybody gets a paycheck battle royal before the show. Let's see. Ross back on the rebound. I only had to leave the show twice. And I had an echo.
Might be me. Hang on just one second.
Go ahead.
While we're waiting, just wanted to point out, too, that Evan Bourne, I think he tweeted earlier this week after the announcement was made, he said he apologized to all of his fans, and he said, sometimes you're your own worst enemy.
I'm going to keep, now we got to keep a really close eye on this one.
Okay.
You are back, and that sounds a lot better.
Okay, yeah, it was just I had to put in headphones on.
Okay. Yeah, Raw's ratings are on the rebound. They actually made it back up to a 3.0 despite Michael Cole at the table.
Yeah.
Well, this was the first time in how many months that they weren't being opposed by a football game. You had the NFL go dark, but then you had the Fiesta Bowl and then the BCS National Championship. So really, Monday Night Raw was up against just your regular Monday Night TV lineup.
Right.
Yeah.
They really didn't get much competition from the national championship game because a lot of us, it was either it's a rerun or it just wasn't that good of a game.
Right.
So, but we had some high points. We had some low points. I only had to mute the TV twice, and I think I fast forwarded through one bit. And not probably for the same reason that you guys did, and that would be the fact that they somehow dug up this kid Perez Hilton and tried to put him on the show.
Yeah,
just a bad idea.
The fact that Justin Roberts not only botched the intro, that before the name was even brought out, he was already getting booed. What were you guys thinking out there? Come on. I mean, I know they're trying to get some interest for the bathroom break, but this is not how you do it.
Yeah, DJ, you were saying?
I like the fact that King and Cole referred to him a few times as Paris Hilton, and I'm wondering if either that's their own doing, or because Vince McMahon is so out of touch with modern-day popular culture, and I use that term loosely in Perez Hilton's case, that he actually thought he was getting Paris Hilton on the show.
And
was feeding lines to the headset.
my thought was just the fact that, no, you might be right. He asked for Paris Hilton, and somebody's wires got crossed, and then Perez shows up.
Oh, hell no!
Although the screen time was promised.
If Paris showed up, there would have been a lot more booze, and I think we would have started hearing, Paris has herpes! Paris has herpes!
But, lordy, why? Seriously. Please tell me he's not going to be our celebrity. He's not going to be the celebrity guest at WrestleMania this year.
It's Miami, so don't be surprised. But God help us if it is.
I've still got my fingers crossed for Shaq.
I'm hoping for Shaq, too. I just hope that it's not some other basketball player from the Miami... I can't even say it. As a proud Cleveland Cavaliers fan, I just hope him.
Dude, I hate Miami everything, so I just think... I've never liked that whole situation.
Bullshit!
I like that sound effect. That was perfect.
Yes,
indeed.
You can thank Jason for getting that for me.
Good job, Jason Block.
Let's see. Okay, Forrest. We had the most wonderful meltdown in the main event this week on Raw when John Laurinaitis just finally flipped his shit. What do you think, Forrest?
I loved everything about. I loved Punk was just on during his portion, just like in June, but Laurinaitis really. Because it was a case where you wanted it to be not right away that he would blow his lid, but they waited several months, and they let loose right at the right time. Just have him be the suit, have him be a faceless guy, and then when Punk just really strikes a chord, boom, it worked wonderfully, particularly with his interaction with Foley afterward.
Yeah, I think the biggest surprise in the apartment here when we were watching it was like, holy crap, Laurinaitis has a personality.
It's there. You just got to dig for it.
Yeah. I got to agree, though. They did this really well. And this is exactly the right time they need to do that because you got to have the weeks build now after he's now openly admitted he's going to screw Punk out of the title. He's probably going to do some damage control, but... it's going to be interesting to see how this develops now.
Oh, I just think somebody else might have been watching and might drop by Monday night and say, you know, I may not always be here, but I'm still your boss.
I'm an asshole.
I fully expect the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, to drop by on Monday and just inquire.
Well, he was out for 6 weeks, so we're getting to be about that time.
Yeah. Although I'm actually kind of thinking there's probably going to be some sort of thing with Laurinaitis and Foley.
Well, we're building to that because, as you know, Laurinaitis' wonderfully long title, which I will not replicate here, ends in Interim General Manager of Raw. Now, if Foley is done... with any sort of literary tour or, you know, nostalgia run with TNA, I would love to have him back in charge of Raw.
Only as commissioner.
Oh, yeah.
as a commissioner, but not the GM?
Yeah. One thing, too, I got to think of after all this went down on Monday night, I see two kind of divergent storylines. I really would like to see Foley. He had such great chemistry with Dolph Ziggler. I'd like to see those two kind of build a little storyline to Mania and maybe have those two in a match. I think Foley could get a lot out of it if it's a hardcore match, a la the battles he had with Randy Orton and Edge.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of elevated those two, and I think he takes a lot of pride in that. You can see Ziggler in that same mold as Edge. And another kind of divergent storyline there is Laurinaitis and Punk. I mean, everybody's made the comparison. It's the 2011-12 version of Punk or of Austin and McMahon, and those two obviously had a big match. We were teased with it in Chicago. I'm trying to think, maybe this happens at an Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, kind of like last year how you had The Miz as the WWE champion against Jerry Lawler. Kind of, you have the Elimination Chamber events to kind of sell the pay-per-view so that you can have somebody who's not a full-time wrestler in a championship match. So kind of got the wheels turning on that, too, so let's see how that plays out.
That's true, because depending on who ends up winning the Rumble, and I know a few people are pointing at Jericho.
Or as we call him in the apartment, Jerick Roll.
Seriously. Jericho-lo-lo-lo-lo-lo-lo-lo-lo-lo-lo-lo-lo-lo. Good Lord.
Hey, he's never going to give you up, and he's never going to let you down.
I genuinely enjoyed the little involvement he had in that match.
That's true. Having him out there just, you know, let me in, let me in, let me in. Jumps in, celebrates and leaves. And it's illustrated for anybody who wants to go over to botchspot.com. There's a beautiful comic about Jericho plotting this whole new character, thinking that he's going to get the entire world to hate him.
Oh yes, I've seen this one.
And then he looks it up on Twitter, and everybody's like, "That's awesome! Best heel ever! Keep it up!" Well, damn.
Oh man.
But no, I agree with the Laurinaitis Punk thing turning into an Austin McMahon. if Punk stays champion, they could do it at Chamber. I don't think they would waste that at Mania, although it, I would almost see it as Mania worthy.
I'm not exactly sure, because I still don't know the athletic abilities of the Funk Man.
I just
want to see him do an Ace Crusher one time.
I would pay pay-per-view money to see him go to the ring on a skateboard. I really do.
But it's really, Nikki, going to depend on who wins the Rumble. Like you said, if Chris Jericho wins the Rumble, then the SmackDown Elimination Chamber will be, okay, the winner will challenge either Daniel Bryan or Mark Henry or Big Show, whoever's the champion at that time, and then Punk likely will participate in the Chamber match itself. So if a SmackDown guy wins, say, a Randy Orton, then maybe the Raw Elimination Chamber will be a challenger one, and then the champion will be involved in the SmackDown one. So that'll kind of give you any clue about where they're going with the Elimination Chamber.
We'll touch on this a little more once the Rumble shakes out, and we'll see who actually walks away with this. Like I said, Jericho's a strong contender. They're pushing really hard when it comes to Sheamus and Wade Barrett. And as DJ just mentioned, there's somebody else who might do it as the hometown hero. I had to make up for that. You realize I haven't played that in over a month? They did announce that Orton would be back next week, which is a miracle, healing from a herniated disc in his back.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, DJ.
They did announce that. I didn't know that, actually.
It was they had a short video package for him on SmackDown that he will be returning next week.
I haven't watched SmackDown in ages.
Okay. Well,
not because it's not interesting, just because I don't know. I don't.
No, it's fine. You missed out on the Sin City SmackDown. They actually did a roulette show tonight.
Oh Lord.
Yeah, now, I was actually watching part of it and trying to catch up with the show tonight.
Well, I'll tell you that this was probably the lightest roulette show that I've ever seen. I was actually at the one in Cincinnati, the one that Ochocinco, quote unquote, hosted. Arrive, tweet, leave. Yeah. But they only did a little bit, although they did do a couple of shout outs to prior Raw Roulette shows. They got in several digs on Regal for the Vegas Showgirl match he did with Goldust.
Oh man.
No, wait, what? No, that was the switching personalities match, wasn't that?
No, it was
Carlito and Bob Holly.
That one. The Vegas Showgirl match was Regal and Goldust, because Goldust actually put the feather stuff over his gold suit. And they made Regal completely dress up. In fact, he walked to the ring in heels.
Oh man.
And didn't break anything. Which means he did a darn sight better than I would have.
Did the Regal did the Brodus Clay segment make TV tonight?
Yes, it did.
Yes, in its entirety.
Vicky Guerrero danced like freaking Elaine from Seinfeld.
but she's still a better dancer than Rosa Mendez.
This could be true.
And Brodus just hammed it up entirely behind her while she's dancing. Regal comes to the ring and is appalled that everybody's making fun of Vicky and shoos her out. And then when he
came out, I was going to swear it was going to be one of those Monty Python, stop it, this is getting too silly things.
I thought about that too. I was also thinking in the back of my head that William Regal must be a doctor. But he got in the ring and he was actually cutting quite the rug before Brodus Clay sat on him.
that's really his only move, is to sit on you anyway.
Yeah. Granted, that is his finish. But I gotta say it. It's entertaining because it is so silly and it is so freaking over the top. And Brutus looks like he is having an absolute blast with it. DJ,
it's almost one of those so bad it's good kind of things.
The parallel I've been drawing to it is when Mark Henry was given the sexual chocolate gimmick.
Yeah.
It is so bad it's good, and when you've given it to the guy and he looks at it and he starts having fun with it, he starts doing it for the art, he doesn't, you know, he's just having way too much fun. And criminy, he gets to chew up 5 minutes by just dancing in the ring. He doesn't even have to take a bump. I don't blame him.
Don't know if anyone can bump him hard enough.
Well, we had a candidate, but unfortunately, I'm still trying to figure out when they announced him for this triple threat for the Rumble. I don't know if he's going to make it. What do anybody got any more details on Big Show's back injury?
Oh, yeah. I haven't heard anything.
I haven't heard.
DJ, I know you've been up to your neck in books, so I don't know if you've seen anything either.
No, the only thing that I learned of is that he had some, I don't know if he sustained the injury during the dark match itself.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that he's hurting, which is not good.
No, and the good news is that Mark Henry looks to be clear to compete, so there will be a match.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, you know, if Big Show doesn't make it, it's going to be heel, and it takes a special brand of heels to do that, and to actually, you know, make it an entertaining match. And I'd be a little nervous about these two.
Yeah. It's going to be a tough call to make. It's going to be one of those matches. It doesn't look good either way.
Yeah. Now, to kind of spice it up, there's rumor running around that they were going to sick Barrett on Bryan, but that's still heel. DJ, you don't watch SmackDown, so I can't ask you that question. Fourth, you watch SmackDown. Is there an upper mid card face we can throw at Bryan?
The only person I could even think of is Sheamus, but they basically put him in a feud with Mahal, so I can't really think of anyone either.
Ew. Yeah, it seems like everybody else is reserved. The only person high enough on the card that I can come up with. But no, I don't think he's got enough vet in him for a push. Is Zeke?
I think they need to build him back up again. I really think.
I'm just looking here. There's nothing. Yeah, there's nothing.
Did we lose Nikki?
We might have. I'm looking at the roster just to see who's active and who's not. We're right. Sheamus is already locked up with Mahal. Shows out with an injury. Yeah, there's nobody higher up. Which is kind of sad. Oh, my.
The show has been Jericho'd. He's listening to us.
No, this is just a delayed SOPA.
I do want to say tonight, given the level of injuries and given everything, tonight even felt light in and of itself. It felt like it was just almost like an extended episode of Superstars.
Ooh. Yeah.
From what I read on the spoilers, that's what it looked like, too.
Yeah. Again, looking at the roster one more time, just wanted to make sure I didn't miss anybody. The only other one that's closer to a mid-card that to get a shot would it's either Zeke or DiBiase.
Wow. Neither one of them carries any cachet whatsoever.
Yeah.
So, Brian, you have him now tied up with Big Show and Henry through the Rumble. Throwing around a crazy idea here, but I think they made it known on one of the Superstars episodes that even the people who participate in matches are eligible for the Royal Rumble. What if Daniel Bryan enters the Royal Rumble at, like, number 30 and ekes out a win, and he would be the first ever WWE World Champion to win the Rumble, and then they do, like, I'm just thinking out loud here, just to kill time while Nikki gets back, but they build a storyline where maybe they kind of build on that old rivalry between Punk and Bryan teases, like, he wants both belts, and he's going to challenge CM Punk for the WWE title, and then he says, no, I don't. I'm keeping my shot. I'm already a champion, and I don't need to defend my title, and I don't need to challenge anybody. And he just kind of sits on it until a challenger is forced on him. Then at that point,
well, wouldn't they just give him a challenger by default through the chamber, though?
Right. That's what would happen. So that would buy them time. That would kind of tie Bryan up a little bit until they get to the point where they can find a face or build up a face for him at Mania, whether that be Randy
The problem I have with that, though, is that a Punk-Bryan match would be a fantastic match, and I know the audience is there who wants to see it. They want to see that kind of unification match.
Right.
It's just, how would you go about doing it? Because I don't think they would be, unifying the title anytime soon.
No, that's why I think Bryan would tease it, like, he's going to go after Punk, but then say, well, what do I need to go after him for? Like, kind of like to build heel heat. Everybody, you build this anticipation to a title versus title match, and everybody's thinking it's going to happen at WrestleMania, and all of a sudden he says, nah, forget about it. He says, I'm the champion. I don't need to cash in my Royal Rumble spot. And then that kind of heals him up a little bit, and then, like you said, they find the challenger for him through the Elimination Chamber. By then, maybe they either build somebody up or somebody gets healthy to the point where they can do that. That's assuming he's the champion by then anyways. He might lose the belt between now and then anyway.
Yeah, although the only way I could think of them doing the quote-unquote unification match at Mania without unifying the titles would be just to do a Broadway.
Yeah.
Have some sort of thing like a 60-minute Iron Man match or something where it goes 0-0.
It would definitely be interesting to see how the fans would react to it, because the fans typically, some would like to see the thing winner, some would like to see this idea. I don't know. I would definitely like to see it.
That would be unprecedented. I mean, they've had the thing where Bret Hart and Lex Luger were co-winners. Didn't Mr. McMahon win one year, I believe?
Yes, I think he won it in '99.
Right. So I mean, they've done different takes on Rumble winners. The old British Bulldog thinking he wins, and then Shawn Michaels comes from out of nowhere. So they've done that to a degree. They've done different takes. I don't think a world champion has ever won the Royal Rumble. So that would certainly be something different. Then again, you're wasting, the Royal Rumble. You could really give somebody a bounce from that. And you're kind of wasting that if you just Bryan or somebody else wins that's a champion and then doesn't use it.
Right.
So.
Plus, there's also the possibility now that I think about it that it could cheapen whatever championship, almost like how in 2008 everyone felt that was really the death knell for Chavo's belt as a world heavyweight championship. It was basically...
Right. This kind of thing can really go a whole lot of ways.
By the way, I just got an announcement. I got a text from Nikki. It says Brownout probably lost the show. So we were probably not even on air right now. And I know she said they were getting a lot of snow up there up north. So this might be...
It might be all might for be naught.
All, might be all for naught tonight. This is, we'll have to release like a 3-disc DVD set, the lost episode of the North American Wrestling Connection. I don't know what Easter eggs we can throw on there. I don't know. Something good.
Well, I'm not sure if this is going to get out or not, but I will say that the Gawker nominations are in, and we...
Oh, yeah. I am getting a message from Seidelman. We are still on the air.
We are still on the air, all right.
Yes, we are. All right. Well, with that, all right. I have already voted for the Gawker Awards. Let's go ahead and prattle out the nominees then.
Off the top of my head, the front runner is a particular commentator that the show does not really approve of. Followed up by Sting versus Jeff at Victory Road, Crazy Sting, the walkout, them dropping the anonymous GM.
I've got the list up right here with the current numbers right now. With 41% right now is all things Michael Cole. And let's face it, he deserves it. Coming in second with 23% is the debacle that is Sting versus Hardy. Coming in with 12 is the mystery GM that was just dropped. Although I wouldn't really quantify that as a gooker. It's considering what I think they're going to do right now with Laurinaitis and Foley.
I agree with you, Ethan. I was thinking that it's not the gooker because potentially. By them not dropping the Gawker and by them not dropping the angle and going forward and actually revealing a GM candidate that probably for everybody's expectations would have been a massive letdown, that probably would have been the Gawker. So maybe it was a good thing that they dropped the angle when they did.
No. The way I'm seeing this is I'm seeing Foley coming out as the anonymous general manager.
Right. I know what you mean. Yeah, but that's just kind of my different take on it, I guess, but for different reasons.
Right, okay. 8% is the walkout. 7% is WWE and their inept obsession with Twitter, which I think inept obsession is already trending. Then 5% is Joker Sting, and then 4%, which is the last one that I don't... I wouldn't blame you for forgetting this, because I think everybody else wanted to. Winter and Angelina loves druggy lesbo relationship.
I every year I just automatically assume that the Gookers are going to go to TNA. But
well,
this
I mean,
year
TNA is a Gooker in and of itself.
This year I think I would vote for WWE's obsession with Twitter. I mean, I'm surprised they didn't rename Raw and SmackDown like WWE Twitter and just have it like 5 times a week.
Hey, don't give them ideas for another Saturday morning recap show. Come on now.
As long as Todd Pettengill's still available, they'll do it.
The worst thing about it is the fact that I'm pretty sure the Twitter obsession started after a particular commentator brought up a particular type of bleeding. It made the scoop, it made Twitter, they just somehow thought, you know, they could say anything, hence the boots to asses, seeing a lady parts promo we saw later on.
Right.
Yeah.
I think you might be right about that. Then, that's the unfortunate part.
Well, there's some kind of, I guess, algorithm that Twitter goes by, because that tries to, I guess.
I think the way it goes is they basically read the tweets that everybody does, and if it's those two words put together, I mean, that's how they manage to put names and phrases and things like that. If they are the most common that of all the tweets that have been going on for the past, you know, maybe few hours or so, that's what they consider trending.
Right, and there's some kind of like Justin Bieber rule, because I guess he was like always constantly trending. So it really is, it wasn't a trend if it was always going, because it's kind of like what's hot at the moment. So it has to be, I guess, something that's outside of the ordinary, that for it to be coming up in so many tweets that it would be trending. So I think that's where the whole, like fourth set bleeding thing came from, you know, because I just, I'm not even going to go there.
Last thing we want to remember is that.
Well, guys, circa Monday Night Raw, when Triple H opened up the show and pulled the run sheet out of his boot, we are going without a run sheet. So what topics do you think you want to cover next in the, I don't know how many minutes we have left here, 20 minutes until the show goes dark? Touched on Evan Bourne, touched on a little bit of Rumble talk and a little bit of John Laurinaitis. Go ahead, Ethan.
I'm looking through the wrestle chats and through the other other wrestling news websites trying to find something. So, here we go. This is also courtesy of Wrestle Chat. Apparently, there was a nice little NWO reference on ESPN.
I'm guessing it has to do with uniforms, maybe.
Possibly.
On Facebook, so I'm glad ESPN and I have the same comedic taste.
Yes, apparently this morning on SportsCenter, the hosts were referring to the Miami Heat's new black uniforms as their NWO for life uniforms.
Hey, ESPN, I don't know how much it's been touched upon on this show. There's a lot of wrestling influence there. You have Bill Simmons, Michelle Beadle, Gus Ramsey, Robert Flores. Of course, you have the coach and Todd Grisham now working there.
I'm actually waiting for the day when I tune in the SportsCenter and see Grish and the coach hosting.
Oh, that would be awesome. They would need to get The Rock or somebody there too, like as an interview guest, to kind of needle them.
Yeah. Another thing that I also heard, I know this harkens back to a couple of weeks ago. I think when Nash basically was calling out the Warrior. Warrior has put out a reply. Let's just say it's more incoherent than Warrior usually is. I haven't seen it per se, but from what I've heard, he's drunk off his ass. Which while hilarious in thought, just makes you just think, oh my god, what's wrong with this guy? Well, I think we all know a lot of things are wrong with him, but what's wrong with him this time?
Probably his upbringing, since he was raised in parts unknown. the morals in that community will screw up any kid. It takes a village to raise an idiot, I guess.
Yeah.
Speaking of legends, I believe either it was this past Monday or the Monday prior, Arda Okau and Jimmy Corderas, they do their show every Monday night on the Score. It's called Aftermath, the Score Radio. And I read an interview recap this I think it was this past Monday, where they interviewed Mean Gene Okerlund. And he stated that he has been contacted by WWE to be a part of their Legends House, a potential reality show where all the legends come together, live in a house, et cetera, that's going to be on the WWE Network. I don't know how much this has been touched upon in prior episodes, but just to kill a little bit of time here, Forrest and Ethan, who would you like to have in your ideal Legends House? If you were the casting director, who would you pick? Who would you put together? I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, but
I think it'll
make for an interesting topic.
Well,
sorry about that, gentlemen. Thank you for sticking around.
Okay, well, let me just make a point on this, because I'm actually reading this off of WrestleChat from JPEG. Piper and Okerlund are confirmed for the Legends House.
Okay.
Rhodes and Sheik are rumored, according to Entertainment Weekly. Another three that were supposedly on the original cast list are supposed to be Duggan, Snuka, and Slaughter.
I thought they axed Sheik. They weren't going to use him.
That's what I had heard as well. I heard that they were going to axe the Sheik as well, but with the rumors, you never know. It could be true, could be false. You never know what can happen. Everything is really up in the air anyway, though. With the network pushing itself back,
right?
To the fall.
So, well, I heard Iron Sheik's agent actually demanded that he be removed from the show, and they found out that B. Brian Blair and Jim Brazil were going to be in the Legends house. So,
ooh, that could be messy. So
yeah.
What else did I miss while SOPA was trying to play with my computer?
Good question. I've been completely phasing it out of my head. Go me.
I just, I apologize, but I had a brownout on this end, and thankfully, I need to send an apology to Gwendolyn, our technical director, who likes to give us countdowns for each show, for at least letting me continue the program, and I'm hoping that you guys at least had a decent chat in my absence.
We actually just said Twitter over and over again.
Yes.
That's why we might be
trending right now, Nikki. Who knows?
Yeah.
I could go for that. And actually, I want something else to trend, and that's the Gooker Awards.
We actually had referred to that. Who have you got for the Gooker?
Cole and Lawler in a landslide. Because Victory Road is it's my understanding that Cole Lawler and Victory Road were fairly close to each other, and everything else has been pretty much left in the dust. Victory Road is a close second to me, only because it screwed over a lot of people, but that was one pay-per-view. Cole Lawler went 6 months too long.
Mm-hmm.
And while it's not going on now, Cole still really has not received a proper and complete comeuppance.
Yeah, I would call what happened at Mania a bit of a comeuppance, but it's not full comeuppance because he's still spouting out all the nonsense.
And he's still won.
Can I change my vote now? Nikki, I don't think you heard earlier, I actually voted for WWE's constant referencing to Twitter. I'm actually going to change my vote. You've convinced me, but I'm not going to go Cole Lawler because I thought it had legs up until it went on too long. It didn't die a quick death. It was slow and painful. But I am going to go to a segmented portion of that, and it's the embarrassment of Jim Ross, mainly the rap battle between he and Michael Cole. I know that Mick Foley said that he would only come back to WWE if he could appear in the worst segment of all time. He did top The Rock's birthday party, but he did not top JR's rap battle with Michael Cole. That's my Gooker Award.
But they had a couple of other things on there that I kind of disagreed with. They put the walkout on there, and the only reason I'm going to disagree with that is because they kind of painted themselves in a corner. They had a great idea the following week with Hunter, Punk, Sheamus, and who was the other?
And Cena.
I'm sorry, I would have laughed my ass off watching them try to do an entire two-hour show by themselves, quote-unquote. That just tickled my inner indie wrestler, because I've worked one show where we only had six or seven guys.
Mm-hmm.
We've done this. It can be
Nikki,
done. Yeah.
To me, I actually like too, because it as just a WWE fan, it was reminiscent of a time where William Regal was the GM and it was just chaos. That whole period where it was like Chaos Raw, and I know that was a period that you, I think, particularly enjoyed until Regal got busted and that ended that whole deal. But that kind of reminded me of that. Where it's just like, okay, what's going to happen? I'm interested in something that's different from the norm, in a good way.
Right. I was really intrigued by this, and WWE chickened out, and justifiably so. If you went to a show to see, you expect
JTG. If you want to see JTG,
Yeah, lots of ruck on that. For that, you may as well just buy the $15 ticket because you'll get that in the first 10 minutes, and then you can go home. but if you were there to see, say, Wade Barrett, if you were there to see Justin Gabriel, if you were there to see Kofi Kingston, you know, if you were there to see Zack Ryder, I'm sorry, you know, that would have pissed off way too many fans. It was a great idea. It was next to impossible to properly execute.
Yeah, good on paper, just impractical.
Right. Now
they should have done it in Corpus Christi because those fans were terrible, and it would have been a good thing if they pissed them off.
I'm gonna have to give DJ that one. I will give you that one. There were a couple of other TNA things on there that I really can't comment on. Because I think they did something with Angelina and Winter.
I read the recap on that. What the hell?
Does anybody have the Google list handy?
Yeah, I read it off. You got the Angelina Love nonsense.
Right.
There's the walkout. I'm gonna get the list right. Yeah. There. We've got Joker, Sting and his bird. Angelina and Winter. All things Michael Cole. The walkout. The GM, which I don't think qualifies because I think they're gonna resolve that in a couple of months. Sting versus Hardy, and then WWE's Twitter obsession.
The Twitter obsession just does not bother me. I mean, they are trying, you know, they finally got somebody in their social media department who either A, gives a damn, or B, knows what he's doing.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, I'm okay with this. I'm actually okay with it. I don't, you know, every now and again I've actually played with the WWE social, and that's just an ongoing, you know, that's just a wonderful, wonderful bit of ongoing nonsense. Just went on there, protested Cole, left. The GM storyline, I also agree, does not need to be on the Gooker thing. The podium has not been out there for a little bit. And if the storyline goes away, the storyline goes away. At worst, if it ever gets explained, it was Michael Cole trying to make himself look important.
Although I have the prediction that it's Foley.
It could be. My other thought is that Jericho's coming back at a very good time. If you remember, before he left in 2010, early 2011.
I think it was like November 2010. Yeah.
Okay. Before he left, he said he was going to do some hacking to try to find out who the GM was.
He has the IP address.
Yes. So he was supposed to. He was going to go home and hit who is and see what he could get of that IP. I would laugh if they brought the GM laptop out and they opened it up and a great big SOPA logo showed up on it.
or if the anonymous GM was a sparkly vest or jacket.
Yes.
Light up jacket.
Yes. And for anybody who does not like that jacket, you do not know good bad wrestling fashion.
You're obviously not a friend of Michael Hayes.
Let's see. Joker, Sting, and the Bird, again, I can't comment on, but I do recall the fan boards just having an absolute field day with hostage-taking Bird. So we got a measure of entertainment out of that, so I don't think that should be on there either. So, but I didn't vote, but if I did, it would be Michael Cole. All day, all night, Marianne.
I've already put my vote in. I voted for Sting Hardy.
Let's see. I should have had one of my UFC correspondent on here, VRM. Do we have a UFC follower in here?
Barely.
There's apparently some big stepping up in Dana White's neighborhood.
Excuse me.
For drug testing, not only for the current crop of guys, but apparently they're actually doing a screening process now when you are before you're even signed. Apparently, a couple of busts might have Dana White nervous, or maybe he's just trying to look cleaner for a couple of other states, huh, Ethan?
Yeah, maybe a couple of states in the, oh, I don't know, maybe in the Eastern Seaboard? I don't know.
What I did read about it, Nikki, I know that it's steroid performance-enhancing drug testing.
Mm-hmm.
I know some critics of the... Of what's come out now for UFC is that they want it to be more of a complete, I'm going to use the term wellness policy, where it's more than just performance-enhancing drugs. It's and I guess the State Athletic Commission does a lot of that testing anyway as far as head injuries, concussions, stuff of that nature. But I think that a lot of pundits wanted to see UFC make it a broader, I guess, policy than what it is.
And if UFC wants to consider themselves a sport, I really think that they're going to have to comply with that. And when you've got strict states like New York and Washington State, you've really got to show that you got to really show them that you're doing your due diligence. I really can't. Another one that I really can't comment on, but it's something that. You know, apparently Dana White's been, you know, waving around saying, look, 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 we're actually testing our... We really are testing our athletes, honest.
Mm-hmm.
There's also additional UFC news as it was announced, I think not too long ago. I don't know if it's been covered on this show. It might have been announced after last week's show that UFC is actually holding a Strikeforce event at Nationwide Arena again this March to coincide with the Arnold Classic, which I will be, again, attending this year. Nikki, I know that was one of your hangouts.
Yeah.
I
would love to be down there, and to this day, I still never did quite catch the Evil Doc. Got a handshake out of him the one time, but I just could not stick around. It was so freaking crowded. Somebody packing up shop?
No.
Okay, I just hear a lot. I just got a lot of noise in the background there.
Oh, that was me reaching into my bag of Lifesavers.
Oh, okay.
My name is Ethan Muslin, and I have a problem with mints.
Well, let's see. Not too many other things to cover, but we're starting to run out of time. So, Forth, do you have anything to plug?
Just DRM and Typo shows. Typo on Tuesday, DRM on Thursday.
Ethan, you got anything?
Just plugging Red State, Blue State next week, where we'll be covering South Carolina, good old South Gakalaki. And I'd like to plug an independent show, if you don't mind. I'd like to plug Knox Pro. This is a local independent wrestling federation here in Los Angeles that is run by Rikishi and Gangrel.
Cool.
My roommate has actually been to a few of these shows. I'm actually probably going to go to their show tomorrow. It's associated with a group called the Territory League, which kind of brings a more team aspect to pro wrestling. And I'd probably get more information when I go there. But from what I've heard, it's actually a lot of fun to go to.
Sweet. And DJ, you got any plugs or plans that you want to brag about?
Come on, baby! All right! Yeah! Come on, baby!
No, actually, I'll actually use my plug to thank Statboy Josh for texting me and letting me know that we were still on the air and to keep going. So, thank you, Josh. Thanks for looking out for us.
Yeah, Statboy, that's much obliged, Statboy, because I was freaking out that I did not have a show to come back to. But I am going to try to keep us running next week, and just for Rumble Sunday, we are going to do a special Pick'ems event. I will have more details with next week's show. So, gentlemen, keep your calendars clear. Keep your eyes mm-hmm. open. We always need wrestling news, and the North American Wrestling Connection is actually going to end on time for once.
Yeah.
So, guys, thanks again. We'll do this again next week.
Doing a good time of keeping the run sheet going.
Well, duh.
Anyway, I couldn't get out of here without a pony quote. So, gentlemen, thank you so much, and have a good night, all.
Night, everybody.
Night.
And we are an archive.
That was a pretty eventful show.
Like I said, I freaked out when my power popped. I'm like, there goes the show.
Well, Nikki, when we thought that we were off the air because I got your text about it being a brownout and we probably lost the show, I said, well, this will be on the I'll have to have a 3-disc DVD box set, the lost episode of North American Wrestling Connection, complete with Easter eggs. So it looks like now it's just going to be a regular old episode.
I'm going to get that sound effect back on the soundboard eventually. Actually, once I have to rebuild the soundboard, DJ, I don't know if you knew, we're gonna be shuffling off of BTR soon.
Yeah, them bastards don't pay us anything.
Exactly. So we're gonna, you know, they're.
I channeled my inner Brock Lesnar there.
Well, no, it's just the fact that we gotta pay them for their crap anyway. So just, you know, little things like that. Although, what happened here was not their fault, or at least I can't figure out a way to blame it on them.
So where are we going? Are we going to be orphans for a while, or?
Carl's trying to cobble something together, and we're going to have a big send-off in February.
Hmm.
Then what we're going to be doing is going to be pretty much Skype exclusive, so if you have a computer capable of this, I would strongly recommend you download a Skype. It would be a free call to come into the radio show.
Oh, cool.
We've had a bit of ups and downs. We've had a few new faces, and the show's still going strong.
Good to hear.
I'm sorry that you weren't here for the 200th episode where I dropped Super Oprah on everybody.
I listened in. I knew that there was a going to be a special guest. So whatever, I think you brought Matthew on one time, and you brought on Super Oprah,
mm-hmm.
who I've actually seen before in person.
Luchacor?
Pardon?
Luchacor?
No, I never made it to Luchacor.
Okay.
You rode with Jabari at some point. Am I blowing cover here? Super Oprah at one point. I don't remember which event, but I met you guys somewhere.
Okay.
I can't put my finger on it.
I'm going to have to think on that too. We're trying to get Super Oprah a goofy opponent. I had a bunch of talk show. Some of my co-hosts are big game show freaks. And they introduced me, they sent me a YouTube video for a wrestler named Johnny Plinko. Whose gimmick is that he is a huge Price is Right fan. He comes out to Price is Right music, he sits in the audience and waits to be called to the ring. I mean, it's clever.
That's tremendous.
I was really impressed. I'm like, okay. So we posted his entrance video on Super Oprah's page. He's like, ooh, that's interesting. So, you know, I don't think we can make it happen because Plinko's, you know, all the way on the East Coast. So I can't afford to fly him anywhere.
Then when he walks back up the ramp after his match, they play, oh, da doo dee, oh, da doo dee, oh, da doo dee, oh. And then when he gets to the top, he just falls down.
He does a face bump at the top of the ramp.
Hey, I can do booking, people. Call me. WWE will come with a package team. I'll write for him exclusively. We'll do it.
Oh, my goodness. That's going to be stuck in my head for a little while. That's not right.
I've used that joke. I don't know. Not that joke specifically, because I didn't know about this wrestler, but the what's the name of the game? I haven't watched Price is Right since I played hooky from high school.
Cliffhangers.
Okay, yes. We have some game show fans apparently in the room now. But I don't know why, but for some reason I'm fixated on that song and that little yodeler guy, and I've used that whole thing in plenty of my jokes, and it gets people laughing all the time.
Oh, it was just kind of goofy. Like I said, some of the other guys, like Jason and Seidelman and Brian Henniger to a point, are big game show guys. And I forgot who else was on. Ethan, were you on when they found that Price is Right for me?
Yeah, they did.
Okay. It had been bugging me forever. I had remembered this old Price is Right back when Bob Barker's hair was still black.
Yeah, because it was Travis who helped you out find it.
Yes, thank you. Where they broke a television during the showcase. I didn't realize it was accidentally on purpose. I thought it was a full-blown accident. But it turns out I didn't remember it correctly. It was from an April Fool's showcase that they did where they pretty much broke all the prizes. But I have finally seen the video again. Thank you, YouTube. And fuck you, SOPA. Anyway, but no, I know you've been crazy busy with school, DJ, so I have, you know, I try not
to
call
on. I'm actually winding down now. I'm in my last semester.
Okay.
I'm on track to graduate on time.
Sweet.
So come May, God willing, you know, if I'm still breathing, still on this earth, I'm doing well in my classes, I'll have to do the pass, I'll graduate, and then 3 months around of studying for the Ohio State Bar, so examination, and then, you know, God willing, if I pass that, I will be at David Otunga's level. So.
So will you
can form the law firm of Peckins, Otunga, and Clarence Mason.
Oh, God.
I'd look you guys up.
I hear Vince hates lawyers, though, so that...
That's why Otunga doesn't get as much screen time as you think.
And actually, I just found this out, but of course, you know, Nikki, I live close to... My actual hometown is close to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Jerry McDevitt. Is actually based out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
No kidding. You got to see an apprentice under him.
Yeah, they do a lot of their stuff in Pittsburgh. Dr. Joseph Maroon is actually, I think he does a lot with the wellness policy. He's WWE's lead doctor. He's based out of Pittsburgh. Dr. Cho did Cena's neck surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Nikki, we were actually in Pittsburgh that day when Cena no-sold neck surgery and showed up.
Yeah, and I told the kid he was full of shit.
Yeah. He was there. He knows. So the same day he had neck surgery in Pittsburgh, he came over. So Pittsburgh is a talent pool for the WWE, Kurt Angle aside. Sorry, Kurt.
Good, Ethan.
No, I got nothing. I wasn't saying anything.
Okay, no, it's just my echo. Mm. Oh, what was I going to say? Okay, DJ, I know what I wanted to bug you. I was going to ask you about rumors going around that RVD is pretty much wrapped up with TNA. Do you think he'll try to find his way back to the Fed?
Absolutely. He's from what I've heard, he's been mailing again from TNA for so long. With no passion, no energy, just kind of like there to collect a paycheck. I don't watch TNA. I rarely do. But I've heard that, you know, he basically wants like the Booker T deal where he's, you know, he just kind of, not as an announcer, but I guess just, or maybe Kevin Nash deal where he just pops in every once in a while. He's kind of like a regular,
attraction.
But not really. Yeah, special attraction. He just, He'll have feuds throughout the year. He won't be on house shows. He'll do TVs. He'll do pay-per-views. But he'll have a lot of time off.
That sounds more like a Shawn Michaels package, actually.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense.
He'd probably get if he can get a Shawn Michaels deal, and I think they would give it to him. I'm just worried, you know, with him butting heads with the wellness policy.
Yeah.
Because I know they're not going to put they're probably going to tell him straight up, we're not going to put a belt on you. Not after
that Rumble match in Detroit aside. He's been out for a long time, hasn't he?
Yeah, because he did the Rumble match. I was there. Showed up at TNA in 2010, and that's all he's been doing. In fact, he kind of put his radio show on hiatus for a while. I only got one email from him in the last like 7 or 8 months for his show, and the show that he did do was in the afternoon, and I couldn't call in. I do remember
when you shot on Hulk Hogan though. That was glorious.
I'm still very proud of that. I'm still extremely proud of that.
I hope you have that saved somewhere.
I don't, but the transcript somewhere on the fan boards. I'm sure RVD Radio has an archive, and I could get
right.
it. And I'd be more than happy. I would play that for anybody because, you know, who gets to shoot on Hulk Hogan?
Linda.
Russo.
No, she just shoots at him.
Or if Linda's believed, Brutus the Barber Beefcake, but hey-ho.
Whoa. Well, just, you know, I never did get my answer. I still want Hogan to show me that minute-by-minute Nielsen ticker that he was using for TNA to check on ratings. I really want to see it. Because he was blowing smoke, and, you know, and I know he wasn't even in the same room with Rob. Crickets. Damn it. Tough crowd. You guys are a tough crowd.
Today. Want to go there.
Oh, yeah? And I repeat. Poopy.
Yeah, that's probably going to be the next thing. We're going to put the space sphere on.
What's that?
Oh, it's the space sphere from Portal 2. It's become a meme.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
No. Well, I'm not gonna do anything Portal because I don't know enough about it.
Right.
I'm trying to keep Minecraft stuff off of here too.
I am an avid crack crafter.
I'm sorry.
Oh no, I like it.
Okay. No, I've got curative MMOs.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. I don't do the multiplayer for that. I just kind of do my own thing and build my own little stuff.
See, that's the one thing I wished Evercrack had. I hated having to put a party together because the last few months I played, it was the same thing every time. We'd have the session would be exactly 4 hours. 1 hour got everybody together. 1 hour to get to the location. 45 minutes of actual combat. Somebody gets killed. 30 to 45 minutes to go get somebody who can actually resurrect the killed character. Once he's resurrected, somebody says, I gotta go. And that's all there was. Also, that just pissed me off.
Mm-hmm.
But, what was I going to say? Now, DJ, you've also missed some odd hilarity. I don't know. You need to go back and listen to the Nikki Awards. That might help.
I've hit some shows. I'll try to download them to my phone,
mm-hmm.
and then listen to them as I'm driving back and forth.
Okay.
Alongside Cabana's podcast, and I listened to, like I mentioned, Aftermath on the Score, which is Ardo, Cal, and Jimmy Cordero. They have a pretty good show. So it's a mix sometimes of whatever I'm able to scrounge up to download. But I've heard a few of the shows. I will have to check out the Nikki Awards.
Okay. Because we did have a guest on there. I managed to get my hands on, get a hold of the IWA promoter I worked for just before I moved out here, Bull Miller.
Oh, yeah, I've seen some of his posts on the indiemessageboard.com board, I guess. Does he work at Chili Coffee, or?
Yeah, and he's done the Odd Show in Columbus as well. Me and Super Oprah had worked down there for several months. I ran into a bunch of guys that I used to work with at Jimmy's. Adrenaline X was down there. Candy Charles was down there as an American Kickboxer too. His old tag team partners down there. Irish Airborne showed up one night. I'm shocked that they did because Bull don't pay.
I was organizing some of my old wrestling stuff over Christmas break, and I found a postcard. Must have gotten it after a show, one of the Raw shows in Columbus or SmackDown, and mm-hmm. it was from IWA, and it was Bull Miller was listed on there, but it was also one of the matches was your modern day Daniel Bryan versus your modern day Dean Ambrose. So it was Jon Moxley versus Bryan Danielson, and that was at some bar in Chillicothe, like the Dusty Armadillo or something. I don't know. So I made that up off my head, but
the place was called the Backstage.
That might have been it. Yeah.
I'd love to hear the date on that because that would have had to have been. That has to be several years old because, you know, Mox I can see over there. Danielson?
Yeah, it had to be fall of 2006 on. So
okay.
I'm thinking from 2006 to spring of 2009, but it would have been in that earlier part.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been after a Raw show, and it was like a little postcard and those two names were on it. And I remember saying, well, geez, I've never seen Danielson before. Maybe it'd be worth the drive, but I was like, I'm not going there.
Okay. I'm gonna have to pick Bull Miller's brain on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I worked down there for close to a year. You could probably find my send off on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I can Google it real quick to see.
Okay. While you do that, I'm gonna go ahead and call tonight. I gotta call. Incoming very soon, so I gotta take care of that.
No, that's fine. That's fine, Ethan. Go ahead.
All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
Night.
Later.
Fourth, you still here?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We're not ignoring you. We really are not ignoring you.
Oh no! Don't worry.
I just felt bad because I know you're there.
Sometimes I couldn't really think of anything to kind of contribute to that, you know.
Mhm.
So.
Actually, DJ, I can't go too much longer because I'm going to be trying to get out of Minneapolis by 10:30. It's actually going to be it's going to be close to 20 degrees in Fargo, so I might be able to survive standing out there for a little bit.
Wow.
Well, actually, let me get the weather up real quick so I know what I'm getting myself into tomorrow. Well, I mean, I'll tell you the story. We went to a show in Toledo. It was single. At the old sports arena.
And it was
in single digits, and it was miserable. Let's see, tomorrow, my area, it's going to be 19 degrees during the day. Tomorrow, windy and 19 degrees, so I'm going to have a lovely wind chill to play with. That definitely means I'm wearing the leather long coat.
Yeah.
But let's see.
Well, have fun tomorrow, Nikki.
Don't mind if I do. That's I get to add a new state to my list. That'll make 14.
Oh wow.
Because let's see, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Missouri, Kentucky, Michigan, Pennsylvania, New York, Tennessee, Florida, Minnesota, Alabama, West Virginia, and then North Dakota.
You count provinces too?
Well, I've been in Ontario a few times, so.
I was going to say, I remember your picture from the airport.
Ah, yes, my picture with Mr. Orton and my picture with Baby Bulldog.
And Hunter in the background.
Yeah. And I'm surprised Black Jimmy wasn't going to help us out on that one. I would have loved to get a new picture with Hunter. But that's...
No one got him, so maybe I'll catch him at the Arnold. I don't think I'll have any luck, but...
Like I said, the one time, you know, somebody gave me a heads up on Hunter, and as soon as I got to that table, he was gone. The one time I caught him was in sheer freaking luck.
I'd have a better chance of getting Arnold himself.
Yeah.
And, oh, speaking of the Columbus Convention Center, Shawn Michaels was there for a couple of days, not this past week, but the week before. The week of it would have been the 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th that week. And he was there for some kind of a hunting expo. It figures that it's the same week that I go back to Toledo, so I wasn't able to catch him again. But I'm sure there were a lot of people down there for him both days.
Oh, yeah. And I'm good. I mean, we got him in Indianapolis.
Yeah. But I've kind of come up dry on the recruiting trail, so to speak. The last ones that I really got were Chavo, Carlito, Cabana, Gail Kim, Mick Foley.
That was all one show. Yeah. I did get one more person before I came up here, so I was happy. I got Cody Rhodes before I left.
Oh, that's right. That was he was at Giant Eagle in Grove City. I remember tipping you off about that because I wanted to go, but I had a wedding that weekend.
And I told you about what happened with the baseball cap, right?
No.
Okay. And somewhere in my road, along my travels, I had bought a baseball cap that had the Kingdom logo from Legend of Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
I bought it just because I'm a video game geek. But I also remembered that Cody was a Zelda geek.
Had it on his boots.
Right. So I brought the hat with me, and I gave it to him as a gift. And I mentioned the Triforces on his boots, and I realized that right around when he started doing the real dark heel stuff with the face mask, the Triforce logos went away.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked him about that, and he says, well, actually, I had to. Nintendo sent me a cease and desist letter.
Really?
For real.
Wow.
So, that kind of cracked me up. I wish I could have found the Photoshop that somebody did of him. There was a picture of him walking around backstage with a lead pipe in his hand. They changed it so he had Link's shield and a sword. Oh, dear.
Did you ever... I remember you calling me that same day after you went to the signing.
Uh-huh.
Didn't you have like a ticket available for Wheeling that you were? Because I said I couldn't go because I actually had a wedding the next week, and then they postponed that one to Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, the tickets the shows got postponed. I managed to sell those tickets.
Oh, so you did ended up getting rid of them because
I did manage to sell them off. It was just the fact that at first it was just a matter of they got postponed. Then I got transferred, so I had to get rid of them.
Right.
So yeah, I got a buyer. So that put $150 back in my pocket real quick.
worked out for me because I wouldn't have been able to make that show because we were still driving back from the Wilkes-Barre Scranton area that Saturday. I think it was like June 5th.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had it Labor Day weekend, which was I was able to do. And now my little cousins, they're like ages 8, 9 or whatever, and they're into wrestling now too. So whenever there's an event in Wheeling or Pittsburgh, they always buy me a ticket either for my birthday or for Christmas or something. So I just go with them now. And that's why I went with for the Pittsburgh show. But anyway, I went with them to Wheeling for Labor Day, and that's where I ended up getting John Morrison, which is a picture that I posted.
Mm-hmm.
On the Facebook page.
Right. Unfortunately, I will not get another I won't get another opportunity unless he gets rehired.
Yeah.
I think he'll be back.
He's going indie dates. That's what I heard.
Huh?
He's out on the indie circuit with Melina.
Mm.
I don't know how much he's going to be doing. But
aren't they asking for ridiculous money?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. But yeah, the Minneapolis show up here in July, I didn't have time to do anything recruit-wise because I didn't even get to the arena. The doors were already open by the time I got there. This was the SmackDown right after. No, I'm sorry. It was a week. No, it was the second SmackDown after Hunter took over.
Okay.
And they're doing the Target Center again in February, and I'm going to that show. It's hard getting floor seats at the Target Center.
Really?
The July show, I did it on short notice, but I got like the last row in the lower level. This time I'm only about 6 or 7 rows up, but it's still lower level, but it's camera side.
I've always, my thing, and it's risky, but I've always done like an hour before the show, and I've pulled more front row seats than I have a right to.
Well, see, that's what Skinny John does, and I'm tempted to go ahead and hit the window before I go inside and just see if there's any releases, see if they've got anything, and if they don't have anything better, say thank you, and if they do, go ahead and buy it. I'll eat the other ticket. I can actually kind of swing that right now.
Well, we did the show in last February in Toledo here,
mm-hmm.
at the Savage Arena. I ended up pulling front row that day.
Right.
I pulled front row for SmackDown, Jericho versus Edge.
Right.
Event in Dayton. I pulled second row for Bret Hart, guest host of Monday Night Raw in Dayton.
Mm-hmm.
I pulled front row for a show in Michigan one time, house show. I think Triple H was in the main event.
I just, like I said, I'm nervous about driving that far and not being able to get a seat.
Yeah.
Because the one time that I did that, I went to Cleveland, and I have never sat that far away from the ring.
In July, when I went to the Christian signing, I ended up going down to the arena. And I again pulled a front row, but it was a SmackDown house show at Console Energy Center, which is the Penguins' new arena.
Right.
It was just a regular house show. It was $82.
Damn.
For a front row ticket. Their tickets for wrestling are more expensive than anywhere else I've ever been. And I said, you know what? I waited in line all day at Kmart for Christian. I'm tired. I said, I'm getting out of here. I ended up going home.
No, I don't blame you. I couldn't blame you at all. The second row seat that I pulled, tax tag and title came out to about 60.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, if it was a pay-per-view or something, like, if I'm going to see SummerSlam, I know you can't do that now because it's, like, for the chair, it's, like, $200-some, but... If it was a TV taping or something, even, I would
shell
out for it.
Yeah, I'd pay 80 for a TV taping, but I wouldn't pay. I'd hesitate paying 80 for a house show.
Oh, too. I got second row in Toledo for SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been the day after. Remember, I called you while I was in traffic after that accident
when
I was in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I ended up getting moving again. I don't ever think I talked to you after that. I got moving again about midnight. And I got a hotel in Pickerington, and then I went back to Toledo went to class, went to the arena first. I saw Vince out in the parking lot with his powder blue suit, and Titus O'Neil was hanging around there, but ended up going to the arena, then going to class, then coming back to the arena for the show. I pulled the second row, and I got a picture with Eden Styles, who is now dating Cody Rhodes, mm-hmm. or at least was when she left. So,
yeah, which she might still be.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. I think we've done enough damage here, and we're probably putting poor Forth to sleep.
Yeah. No.
But yeah, I need to wrap it up because tomorrow is going to be a long day.
Yep. Well, have a good time, and I will be sure to read the house show report tomorrow to see what you saw. So.
Yep, and worst comes to worst. Sorry, Forth.
I just said you have a good time.
I will. I'm just hoping I get a couple of new names and faces this time. I need some fresh faces on my website. Actually, I need to freaking update my website, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, your cavalcade of champions is outdated.
Yeah, just a little bit, but I'll work. I'll get that fixed over the weekend. I'm not going to do it tonight, obviously. So, gentlemen, next week.
See you next week.
You got it.
I'll see you.
Night all.
Good night.
Night.
For more information about this podcast and all of our other podcasts, please visit our website at clwa3.com. Any questions or comments? Please send an email to clwa3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Tune in.